Well, as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table, I'd like us to look at a familiar passage of Scripture for a few moments. John chapter number 3. And let's just look at verses 1 to 3. John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. And let's commit our time to the Lord in prayer. After we read these verses. John chapter number 3. Verses 1 to 3. Verse 1 says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your miraculous work in our midst. And Lord, the only way that we can, Lord, have a full vision of the miracles of God is to live by faith. Lord, open our eyes once again as we look to your word. Lord, as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table, a time of remembrance, a time of rejoicing. Lord, help us to grow in our faith and in our thankfulness towards Thee through Your Word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, for this miracle of Christ, you might be wondering, what are we going to learn from John chapter 3, which some of us know so well? Well, we need to be careful not to pass up on the or look over or move beyond one of the greatest, if not the greatest miracle, the miracle of the new birth. Amen? God's miracle of the new birth. The miraculous work that God does to take a hell-bound sinner, lost and dead in their sins, and to make them new. Amen? In Jesus Christ. That is the greatest miracle of God. Amen? To be joint heirs with his Son. And so tonight, as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table, I don't think there's a better way to prepare our hearts than to look at God's work of salvation. First of all, notice with me in your Bibles the miracle of the inquirer. And let me say, the fact that Nicodemus is coming to the Lord Jesus Christ to find out more is a miracle. Amen? Here we see the first inquirer that comes to the Lord. And sometimes we pass up on this fact, but what is happening in Nicodemus' heart is a miracle of God. Notice there in your Bibles, the Bible says in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees. Now, Nicodemus was a very religious Jew. He was a very well-known religious leader. He was an interpreter, a teacher of the law. He was a ruler of the Jews, the Bible says. So he had a very high position. And notice, he came to the Lord to find out more despite his religion, despite his religious upbringing. And you might say, I wish more people would come to the Lord despite their religion. Well, let's recognize that when they do, it is a miracle of God. It's a miracle of God. God working in their hearts. Notice, he also came with conviction. He called the Lord Rabbi. He didn't treat him like some of the other Pharisees did, as a nobody. He said, Rabbi, teacher. He honored the Lord and admitted, well, you are no ordinary teacher. In fact, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, Christ had displayed a number of miracles, and Nicodemus was willing to admit there's something different about this Jesus. There's something different. I need to find out more. It was Nicodemus that came to the Lord by night. Now, I don't believe Nicodemus was a coward and therefore he was afraid of what people would think of him. I believe that he wanted some one-on-one time with the Lord. And he knew the crowds were there during the day. And if he came to Jesus by night, he'll be able to ask the questions he wants to ask. He'll be able to find out more. And I know these are familiar verses, but brethren, this is a miracle of God. A miracle of God. God drawing the sinner unto himself. John chapter number 6. We're there in the book of John. Have a look at John 6 verse 44. John chapter 6 verse 44. What does the Bible say? Please look with me there. Verse 44. The Bible says, what the Lord Jesus says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Now you might say, what does that mean? Well, it means what it says. Amen. No one can come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation except the Father draw him. What does that mean? Does that mean that God only has some people that are going to be saved and then the rest he damns to hell because these ones are elected to salvation and these ones are not? No, that's not what the Lord is saying. The Lord is saying that we are so dead in our sins and dead to God, unable to see any spiritual truth, it takes a miracle of God to draw a sinner to himself. You see, this is the first miracle we see in this account of Nicodemus. The miracle of the inquirer. Yes, God's drawing must meet the willing response of the inquirer. We understand that Nicodemus had to respond to the Lord's working in his heart. But we understand that it's a miracle of God when anyone wants to know more. When anyone wants to listen to what we have to say, that's how dead we are in our sins. Let's have a look at Romans chapter 3. See, sometimes as Christians we think, well, I came to the Lord. Why aren't they coming to the Lord? As if we've done something to find Christ and earn our salvation. What do the scriptures say? Have a look at Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. The Bible says, verse 10, a familiar verse, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Church family, that's speaking about the unsaved, the lost, dead in their sins. Until we get saved, the light is off. Amen? Until Christ comes into our lives, the light is off. Darkness. We are blind to the gospel. We are dead in our sins and trespasses. We are unable to comprehend the divine spiritual reality of God. That is how lost we were before we got saved. You see, the fact that you and I are saved tonight is a miracle of God. God drawing us unto himself. But don't forget it. Christ said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Everyone can be saved. But it takes a miracle of God. My friend, if you are a born-again Christian tonight, God worked a miracle in your life. No, hang on, Pastor. I sought him out. No, he didn't. No, you didn't. He sought you out. He drew you unto himself. There was a time and times again and again where God was working in your heart. Yes, you needed to respond. But that response was someone opening the door, for example, and saying, come this way. And you and I say, no, I don't want to. Come this way. No, I don't want to. One day you walk through that door. Amen. The miracle that took place was God drawing you and I. You see, we need to, as Christians, what do we learn from this? We need to be thankful. Amen? We need to be more thankful for our salvation than we are today. Because that's how blind we were. That's how lost we were. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. It's nothing I did to be saved. Certainly the Bible is true when it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. But let's be honest, some of us are boasting today. As Christians, some of us say, well, I'm not like them. And look at them in their sins and iniquities. At least I came to Christ. What a foolish statement. In light of the fact that it takes a miracle of God to draw anyone, even to inquire about salvation. You see, Nicodemus came by night. God was already at work in his heart, drawing him unto himself. This is the first miracle we see in God's work of salvation. Don't pass up the fact that when someone at the door, when we go door knocking, is standing there and listening, amen, and you share the gospel, and they haven't slammed the door in your face, brethren, that's a miracle. That is a miracle of God. You say, Pastor, well, that's just good manners. No. We've forgotten how depraved we really were before we were saved. We've forgotten how darkened we were spiritually within. You can just search the scriptures and see for yourself. Even our righteousnesses were as filthy rags. We're not a bunch of good people that became Christians. We're a bunch of depraved, wicked sinners held down that God had to miraculously draw unto himself. Amen. Let's have the right attitude when it comes to soul winning. Let's be thankful for everyone who would just listen or even receive an invitation. Let's be grateful as Christians for our salvation. Amen. That's Bible. That is the truth of the Word of God. That's why we need to live by faith. If we live by sight, we might even convince ourselves we're pretty good people. Amen? You know, I'm not that bad a sinner. Wow. That's pride. You know, the Pharisee is not meant to become the publican, as Charles Spurgeon said. We came to Christ, Lord, forgive me a sinner. But as Christians, we can start to evolve into a Pharisee. I'm thankful I'm not like that man, because I give my tithes. I fast. Amen? It's a very good insight by C.H. Spurgeon. Be careful that when you started off as a publican in salvation, you don't become a Pharisee today. Amen. The miraculous work of the inquirer. The miraculous work. All right, let's move on. The miracle of the inspired word. That's the next miracle we see. John chapter number 3 and verse 3. The miracle of the inspired word of God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now we understand Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, but he spoke forth the word of God. The divinely inspired Word of God. And the next miraculous work we see in the miracle of the new birth is the Word of God working in Nicodemus's heart. The inspired Word of God. Now we can see how lost we really are in Nicodemus's example. Just like him. When we heard the Word of God, we thought, what? What does that mean? Confusion. Misunderstanding. Any capability to understand the Word of God. And there Nicodemus was there thinking, what is he saying? What is this teacher saying? Except I be born again. Now, he obviously misunderstood, didn't he? He thought the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, no, you've got to go back into your mother's womb and come back out. A complete misunderstanding. And he was struggling with the understanding of the Word of God, and he was trying to comprehend what the Lord was saying about salvation, the new birth, and being born again. And Jesus didn't tell him who he was. He told him what he needed to know for salvation. And there's Nicodemus. And what do we see? A picture of the Word of God working in an inquirer's heart. God was drawing him unto himself. And then the Word of God was unleashed, amen? The Word of God working in his heart. Now, Nicodemus was confused. He didn't understand, okay? What did the Lord Jesus Christ do? What did he do? Okay, we're there in John chapter 3. What did the Lord do? Now, we're looking at verse 5. We know what Nicodemus said in verse 4. What did he do in verse 5? The Lord. Did the Lord pull out the NIV and say, well, let's dumb these words down. Let's come up with a simpler version so you can understand God's truth. Is that what he did? Did he pull out the Aussie Bible or the Jewish Bible? Well, there's no such thing. Did he pull out the Aussie Bible that uses slang words and culturally relevant illustrations to try and dumb the Word of God down? You know, that's what you and I attempted to do, aren't we? We take the Word of God out, people don't understand it, and we think, well, maybe we need a new version. Or maybe we need to try and explain God's Word using our life example and maybe try and change the words a little bit and maybe that way they'll see it because what we have is not good enough. Well, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? I know I'm being blunt this evening. Amen. The Lord repeated what He said with more conviction and more of the Word of God and more detail. Amen. That's what the Lord did in verse 5. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," again, He says the same thing, "except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." The miracle of the divinely inspired Word of God. You see, brethren, we don't need a new approach in soul winning today. We don't need a new Bible version in soul winning. We have the divinely inspired Word of God in our hands. What we need to do is, like the Lord Jesus Christ, declare it. Amen? Amen? Yep. Because the Word of God is quick and it's powerful and it is sharper than a two-edged sword. Your little testimony and mine, as much as we rejoice in it, won't do a thing for the salvation of a soul because they need to hear the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. Not just you, every man who believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The gospel, that's living by faith. We believe that the Word of God is the power of God, not the way I explain it, not my illustrations. Illustrations are good. We teach illustrations in soul winning class, just to help the conversation along, to use real-life examples. But brethren, that doesn't replace the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is a miracle of God. God has preserved His Word. We have it today. It is alive. We need to share it. Amen? It's on those invitations, the Word of God. Share the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. If someone wants to listen, there's a miracle. Amen? God is drawing them. God is at work in their hearts. And if you declare the Word of God, trust in His holy Word to do its work in the heart of that lost one. Amen? Because that's how you and I were saved. Maybe we didn't understand it the first time. What do we do when someone doesn't understand and say, "Hey, I don't understand what you're saying"? Well, clarify. But continue in the Word of God. Share more of His Word. That's what they need to hear. More of His Word. We don't stop there and say, "Okay, step back. This isn't working. A new idea is needed." That's where our churches have gone off track. Let's bring in the rock band. The Word of God's not working anymore. Let's bring in the casual church. Putting God first, honoring Him, isn't working anymore. Let's dumb things down. The Lord didn't change a beat. Amen? He just repeated the same thing with more conviction towards Nicodemus. What an example of a soul winner. And here we see the miracle of the new birth, the miracle of the inquirer, the miracle of the inspired Word of God. What did Jeremiah say in Jeremiah 23:9? Amen? Jeremiah 23:29, 1:2. "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Now, poor Jeremiah, tough job, amen? One man in the midst of a nation, not just a nation, but an apostate nation, worshipping idols. What a job to preach to them. But Jeremiah's confidence wasn't in himself. His confidence was in the Word of God. That's a good memory verse, verse 29. "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" We have hard hearts. Isn't that true? And we're Christians. Think about the hardness of heart of the unsaved, those who are not illuminated by the Word of God, that have not seen the light of the gospel, that do not have Jesus Christ dead in sins and trespasses. What can break the heart of the sinner? The Word of God. Amen? The Word of God. That's what we need to declare. We don't need a new approach to soul winning. We need a commitment back to the Word of God. at the miraculous work of the Word of God. The Bible speaks of the gospel as the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. The gospel is like a shining light in a darkened soul to bring that lost one to Jesus Christ. And here it is, the light. Amen? Amen? We are the light of the world. Why? Because we are to declare the gospel. We are to shine as lights. Yes, by our example, but people need to hear the gospel. The Lord Jesus gave a great example to Nicodemus. But he came to find out something about the Lord, and the Lord said, you must be born again. Amen? This is your need. You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's soul winning. Amen? Lovingly, confrontationally declaring the Word of God in its fullness. That's why the Apostle Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't ashamed to go into a heathen culture, even to Rome itself, the greatest and most wicked city in the known world, and declare the confounding truths of God, knowing that it will break the heart of the sinner in pieces and bring them to Christ. The gospel, the Word of God. That's the miracle God has given us. The just shall live by faith. Brethren, we need to live by faith and believe, yes, the Lord is at work in the hearts of people around us. Amen? He's at work. We need to do our part. We need to first of all believe that God is drawing people unto Himself. That's why we're here. If it wasn't so, we'd be gone. Amen? Amen? If it wasn't so, we'd be gone. That's why we're here. There's a drawing taking place. And yes, just like you and I, we need to hear it again and again before we get saved. Amen? We need to hear the Word of God. But thankfully, someone didn't come along our path and say, hey, come to a rock concert and come down the front if you want Jesus to heal you. Thankfully, we didn't look to a prosperity gospel to try and help us in our life. Thankfully, someone came along to tell us the Word of God. The Word of God that led us to Christ for salvation. Can you see the miraculous work of God in salvation this evening? The drawing, the miracle of the inquiry, the miracle of God's inspired Holy Word. And thirdly, the miracle of invisible regeneration. I had to find another I word. Invisible regeneration. Notice what the Lord says back in John chapter number 3. And verse 8, the Lord describes to Nicodemus the work of God's salvation. He said, look, this is how it works. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So being born again is a spiritual birth. It is a birth from above, but it is an invisible work of God. Because it takes place in the depth of the soul of the lost one. The Lord Jesus is saying to Nicodemus that we cannot see the wind. It's invisible. We've got fans blowing this evening. You can feel the wind. You can see the effects of the wind. There's my notes. There they go. We can see what the wind does, but we cannot see the wind itself. It is invisible. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. You see, the greatest miracle that took place here is the miracle of invisible regeneration, the work of salvation, the Holy Spirit of God at work. And maybe we can imagine tonight the Lord Jesus Christ and Nicodemus as sitting in an alleyway and speaking together. And maybe there was a cool breeze that blew through that alley and the Lord said, look, you can't see the wind, but you can feel it. Salvation is by faith alone. You must be born again. And when a sinner repents, believing in the gospel, and God has worked in their heart to bring them to salvation, and they've responded to God's drawing, and they've believed the Word of God, the Bible tells us that when that sinner repents and puts their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, the Bible tells us that they are instantly born again by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes within and does the work of regeneration. We are in fact remade spiritually. We are made alive. We are regened, if you will, by the Spirit of God. No longer are we a child of hell, a child of the devil, a child of death and sin. We are now a child of God, born again from above by the Spirit of God. That is the miracle of the new birth. Spirit of God instantly changing the sinner into a new creature in Christ. The Bible says we are sealed. In fact, at the moment that you believe, the Bible said, ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He seals us. He keeps us saved. He regenerates us. He makes us new within. And then for the rest of our Christian life, He continues to change us once we're saved. The miracle of God's work of salvation. What's the point this evening? Salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Not at all. We did nothing, my friends. We did nothing at all. Not of works. It's by faith. We simply believe God. Amen? Amen. By faith. Maybe we understand that verse a little bit more tonight. God was drawing us, and God brought along His Word, the miracle of the Word of God. And then God, the work of God of regeneration, of that spiritual change that took place where suddenly we had a new heart for God. And suddenly we had new desires for God that were not there before. Suddenly we had a hunger for the Word of God. What was that? Was that you and me just going to church and just getting religious? No, it was the work of the Spirit of God. The miraculous work of the Spirit of God. We need to be thankful tonight as we partake in the Lord's table. My friends, we are the examples of God's miraculous work, of His love, of His work in regeneration. We were spiritually dead, and we have been made spiritually alive. We haven't woke up. We haven't woken up. No, the Lord woke us up. Amen. The Lord came within. The Spirit of God, born from above. We need to continue to remember that. It's an invisible work of God. You say, Pastor, I didn't see any lightning bolts. I didn't see any signs from heaven. Good, I'm glad you didn't when you got saved. Because many people are trusting in those signs and more signs to come to convince them that they're saved when there are no signs. The Lord said, no, it's an invisible work. The Holy Spirit's work is just like the wind. You won't be able to see it. But let me tell you something, Nicodemus. There will be a change that you will see. You'll see the effects of the wind. Now, what happened to good old Nicodemus? Amen. As we finish off this little insight into the miraculous work of the new birth, what happened to Nicodemus? Well, in John chapter 8, he stood up for the Lord Jesus Christ against the other Pharisees. And then we see later on that during the Lord's burial, there was Nicodemus lending a helping hand to bury the Messiah. And so for all intents and purposes, the Bible shows us that there was a change that took place. Nicodemus was no longer an inquirer. He was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He trusted Christ for his salvation. And there was a change in his life. The miraculous Word and work of God in Nicodemus's heart. What a wonderful insight when we look at the miracles of God. What took place here in the miracle of the new birth? What took place in Nicodemus's life? Well, the miracle of God's drawing unto Himself. Amen? The miracle of God's Word. The miracle of God's regeneration. A new heart. A new desire. And a new purpose. That's the miracle of the new birth. As we gather around the Lord's table this evening, let us come with humility. Amen. Let us come like the Pharisee, like the publican who said, Lord, forgive, be merciful to me. That's right. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful. We just collapsed on the mercies of God. That's what we did. He saved us.
What did the psalmist say? In Psalm 34, look with me there as we move into the Lord's table tonight. Psalm 34 and verse 2. Psalm 34 and verse 2. Let's read it aloud together on two. One, two. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. We have nothing to boast in. Amen. My soul shall make her boast in whom? In the Lord. Amen. In the Lord we boast all the day long because of His miraculous work in the new birth. The humble will hear and be glad. Amen. I trust you're glad this evening that God showed mercy to a wretched sinner like you and I. And He did all the work. We did nothing. He saved us by faith alone, by His grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. I trust you're not coming boasting this evening. We don't have the right to be here. We don't have the right to partake. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we come to worship our Lord in thanksgiving and in remembrance. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, your word is like a hammer. Lord, thank you for breaking our heart of pride, our heart of self, our heart of unbelief, as we fail to see the miraculous work that you have performed in the new birth that is our salvation. Lord, as we remember the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, help us to be thankful. Help us to come as we came to the cross, like the publican of old. Lord, help us, we pray, to remember thee with thankfulness, with gratefulness. And help us, Lord, we pray, to approach thee in a way that honors you tonight in our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, as we take a moment to prepare for the Lord's table, and I know that there aren't any visitors here present this evening, the Bible tells us that the Lord's table is an ordinance of God that is for God's people, not for the lost. Partaking in the leavened bread and the pure grape juice won't cleanse us of our sins. It's not a path of salvation. Christ instituted the Lord's table so that we would, as a church, remember Him. The Bible says in verse number 23, 1 Corinthians 11, 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." We come to remember the Lord. We come to worship the Lord. So those who are to partake are those who have already received the Lord Jesus Christ personally as Saviour. The Lord has saved you. If you are a born-again Christian tonight, God invites us to come to the Lord's table. The Bible says that they that gladly received His word were baptized. The Bible says the first step of obedience in the Christian life is to be baptized fully by immersion. We understand that's the first step in the Christian life. Baptism by immersion, biblically, underwater, picturing the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. And then we understand that the Bible says not only are we to be saved and baptized, the Bible says we are to examine our hearts. There in verse number 27, "Wherefore whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Now this wasn't written to the unsaved. Here in verses 27 and 28. There wasn't a bunch of unsaved Christians in the Corinthian church causing the Lord's death and the picture of His death to be defiled. These were Christians. These were Christians that had sin in their life. These were Christians that had bitterness one to another. It's Christians that the Lord is talking about. It's not the unsaved that the Lord is worried about taking the Lord's table. No, the Lord is concerned about Christians. We are the ones that need to examine our hearts. We are the ones that are to say to the Lord, Lord, is there anything between me and thee? Is there any sin that I'm holding on to that I'm not willing to confess? Is there any sin that Lord, I'm continuing in and I know that it's there. You reveal it to me and I don't want to let it go. I'm not willing to confess it. You see, the Lord wants us to come in reverence to the Lord's table. Now, none of us are sinless. None of us are... We don't believe in sinless perfection. But God believes in God's people being accountable. And the Lord's table is a time of accountability. It's good for us to come clean before the Lord. Amen? And I trust that it's not just the Lord's table that causes you and I to do that. But it's the Lord's presence in our lives, the Lord's love. So as we approach the Lord's table tonight, if you are saved, you've been biblically baptized, you believe in the doctrines and practices of this local church, and your heart is as clean as it can be before the Lord, then let me invite you to partake as we worship and remember the Lord together.